Hello and welcome to Locked On Cavaliers for Thursday, July 26th. I am Chris Manning, your host and the site manager at FearTheStore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. If you aren't already, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A 5-star review is the best way to support the show, and you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. On today's show, I'm joined by Mo Dockhill, the host of the Jump Ball podcast and a former NBA video coordinator for the Clippers, Spurs, the Australian men's basketball team in the 2010-2012 Olympic cycle. You can find him on Twitter at Mo Dockhill _NBA. We talk about the Kevin Love extension, if the Cavs can get Minnesota Kevin Love back, how the Cavs can balance having a top 20 to 25 NBA player in his prime with developing guys like Sexton and Jetty Osman. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again to Mo, and here's today's show. You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Let's start broadly speaking here, and we'll zoom in on some of the stuff you've written about and have tweeted about, and I've written tweeted about. But when you saw that Kevin Love got this 4-year extension, it'll commit him to the Cavs for the next 5 years, assuming they don't trade him at some point. Did you think this was a good or bad deal, broadly speaking, or do you view this more as a gray thing where there's some good, there's some bad? But is there one way you're shaded towards this deal?
I mean, you can make the argument it's a great thing. There's always, in any deal, there's always some sort of bad to it. The thing is, fairly a good deal in my opinion, though, just because, one, you're not attracting free agents to Cleveland. Like, I don't know what, you know, when everybody's like, oh, they've burned their cap money, they weren't ever going to use that cap money. They're not going to be a destination next summer in 2019. I think the other thing is you're securing the asset. You know, there's definitely a possibility that he does get traded during this deal, and I would put it very likely at some point he gets traded. I don't know in what year, but there's definitely going to be a possibility of that. And you know, you can get a lot more for him from teams knowing that they're going to have him for a few years versus if they didn't sign him to an extension. And, you know, they wanted to move him at the trade deadline this year. He's really just a 2-3 month rental, and you can't get as much. There's not a lot of value in that. So to me, I kind of look at it as a good to maybe a little gray because he does get older. You know, we haven't seen the best Kevin Love over the past 4 years in Cleveland. And part of that was just how they used him. So you can kind of question some of that, but overall I just think it was a smart move to make.
Yeah, I agree. I was a bit surprised that they did it just because it did sort of come out of nowhere to some extent. This wasn't something they had we didn't know about the phone call him and Altman say they had on July 1st after LeBron said he was going to the Lakers. We didn't know basically anything about this until it comes through, and I've seen, you know, you just talked about it. Michael Pina from Vice has written a whole thing about this already, but I would be a little bit surprised, at least in the first year, if in February they traded him, just because I do think they feel as if they want to build something that is not going all the way down. And keeping Kevin Love, I think, does establish some kind of floor for you. Maybe your ceiling isn't particularly high, especially if you're developing Jetty Osman, if you're developing Colin Sexton, developing Ante Zizic, trying to get other young guys in there and trying to let these guys make mistakes and grow. But having Kevin Love, who should be an all-star this year if he's healthy, should be one of the better players in the weaker conference overall. I mean, we'll see what his workload really looks like and what the Cavs do otherwise around him and what other moves they make. But I would be surprised, at least in the first year, if they traded him. Maybe year three we get there, but I would be surprised early on. I understand the idea that he is now a better asset to flip at some point. And I've seen the Blake Griffin contract comparisons thrown out there on Twitter, right, a little bit. But I think from what I know about what the Cavs are thinking, and maybe this is a sales pitch on their part, it's totally possible that's what they're putting out there. I do think they're trying to establish him as like the bridge, the lead point of a bridge without ever having to sink all the way down. And if you do trade him, you're trading the thing that keeps you, I think, from sinking all the way down.
Yeah, and I think I think you're right. I don't think he gets traded this year. I can see him getting traded next summer when a team strikes out in free agency. There's going to be a lot of cap space, a lot of teams with money, and tons of free agents. I think it's somewhere close to like 150 free agents. I think it's going to be an interesting summer next year, and not everybody's going to get the guy they want. Not everybody's going to, you know, going to be able to bring in the big name free agent. So what do they do next? You know, if they strike out there, I could see them start calling Cleveland. Also, dependent on the year Kevin has this year, you know, I could see them start calling and kicking the tires and seeing if they can't put a package together, because they may not have signed a free agent, but being able to trade for Kevin Love would be almost like a free agent signing, you know, for teams that strike out in 2019 free agency. He might be an option if he has a really good year this year.
Looking at this year, looking at what the Cavs are likely going to use him. You wrote about this even before the extension. People go read that piece at thejumppod.net. He's in a position this year where the Cavs are we're expecting them to run things through him. Now, their offense, I would guess, just by virtue of losing LeBron James, has to look completely different. There's maybe some similarities to some of the action, but when you don't have LeBron to engineer everything, and you're also, you don't even have a Kyrie to fall back on where you could keep some of the ISO heavy principles in there, they just don't have that type of guy in their roster. Now, maybe they're going to let Colin Sexton do some stuff. Maybe they're going to let Jetty do some stuff. But I would expect Kevin Love to be the focal point. And they talked about giving him touches at the post, giving him touches at the elbow, and running sets through him there when him and Kobe Altman talked to the media this week. But it's been 4 years since the Cavs have any team. I mean, the Cavs never have asked him to do this. Since the Wolves asked him to be this hub of the offense, to score a lot, to have a high usage rate, to not just be primarily a floor spacer. Is it a concern for you that when you look at that, it's been 4 years since Kevin Love has been Minnesota Kevin Love? That has been 4 years since he has carried a heavy, heavy workload. Is that a concern? Is it realistic to expect him to be able to handle that again?
Yeah, you have to kind of look at it and go, you know, it's a possibility. I don't know how realistic it is. It's not like he can just, it's not something you just flip on a switch and boom, you're back to Kevin Love 4 years ago. You know, he's a better shooter now than he was then, but also, you know, this is going to sound kind of funny, but he's lost a lot of weight, and that might hurt you in the post when you're trying to establish post positions and things like that. You know, I think that's going to be an interesting thing for him that he'd have to readjust to and getting back to his post game. But overall, it's kind of like riding a bike. It may stumble at first for a while, but eventually he'll get his rhythm back and get going. I you know, I think it's going to be interesting. I think they could run a lot of the same sets that they ran for LeBron, you know, and putting Kevin Love in those positions. You know, when they run their elbow action, it was LeBron that was the guy who would get the ball at the elbow and facilitate from there. In Minnesota, that's what Kevin Love would do. And with his passing ability and things like that, I think his last year in Minnesota, he averaged 4.4 assists. You know, he's going to find cutters, and guys like Chetty, guys like, you know, J.R. Smith, all those guys got to be ready to cut. And it's going to be fun to watch him play that two-man game with Kyle Korver a bit, who's always moving around. I think that's going to be interesting. I think when they run their Iverson action, they have a play specifically designed to get LeBron a post up on the weak side. I mean, they could run that same thing for Kevin Love. You know, they could have run it last year. They could run it now and get him a post up easily there in deep post position. I think it's going to be an interesting way to see how they use him. But I think, you know, we're going to see more of him with the ball, which I think is going to be a positive thing. And the one thing I really want to see more than anything else is those long full court passes that he used to make in Minnesota. I mean, those basically have become almost extinct. Like, I would be shocked when I would see him in a Cavs game, but you'd only see him maybe like two or three times a year. Whereas, you know, in the past, you'd probably see him do it at least a couple of times a week. So it's going to be fun to kind of see what the Cavs do. And it's going to be interesting to see how Ty Lue approaches this. You know, he gets killed a lot for being a bad coach. But, you know, the hardest thing, I don't think people realize how hard it is to coach LeBron James, you know, and create a system for it. You know, we panned Eric Spoelstra all during those Miami Heat years. And now we consider him one of our best young coaches in the NBA. I think, you know, we might see something like that with Ty Lue just now that he's going to have more freedom to kind of create and a little more ability to play around with it. So I think, you know, to get back kind of to your question, it's going to be interesting to see if Kevin Love can get to that point. If he can, I expect some big things for the Cavs to at least, you know, contend for a playoff spot, because that's what they're going to need.
The push to the playoffs for them and how they're viewed in that regard to me is really fascinating, because I still think I think they might be so bad on defense that they're going to struggle. And I think Detroit, I think, has more incentive to try and win. I think the Charlotte does. The Cavs, I don't think, are tanking. I think this is a signal that they're going to try to make the playoffs, but they also have that pick they have to think about. Could they make improvements and do things differently, but still maybe be in the top 10, the bottom 10? I think that's, if I was them, that's sort of what I would think might be the optimal result as far as your long-term future. Maybe the short-term, making the playoffs and, you know, getting shellacked by the Celtics or something is better for your bottom line and the fan base excitement, but who knows. The one part of this that I think is really going to be interesting to see is one of the many facets of this, but what position is Kevin Love in? They used him at the five to start the year last year. He did not like it, but was right, willing to make that sacrifice because he was with LeBron. LeBron bends things to his will. And when he does stuff and you have him, you're, I think, well, as a player, I would guess you're more willing to make sacrifices because you're competing for a title, you're playing with the best player ever, etc. With no LeBron, and with the Cavs roster having Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance Jr., Ante Zizic, three fives. Those are all fives in my book. Nance right. played some four with the Lakers, but was really a five with the Cavs. They view him as a five. Zizic is a five. I think Tristan, as the NBA has changed, is a five. I don't think you're going to see very much Kevin Love at the five next year. And I think that there's things I like about that. I think personally he's more comfortable playing with another big. It also is going to, the Cavs saying they want to play fast and want to increase the pace a little bit, that would, with Kevin Love as your four and running maybe some half-court sets, and George Hill sort of being a guy who's very comfortable in half-court sets and maybe not wanting to throw Colin Sexton to the Wolves, I wonder how the Cavs maybe try to play a little bit faster and not have LeBron slow down the pace as much as he did, because he loves to dribble the ball up and take his time and then attack. But Kevin Love at the four, to me, would seem to be, you're going to be a very half-court heavy execution team. And that in itself is kind of interesting, because I don't know if you agree with that, but I just can't imagine he, with this roster construction and with the how much he didn't like playing the five, is going to want to do it this year when he's the face now.
Yeah, so I wouldn't anticipate him playing the five a lot at all, unless injuries and stuff happen. But what I would look at it is he would kind of play the four offensively and would probably defend fives, just because he doesn't really have the foot speed to stay with quicker fours and things like that in matchups. Overall, I generally don't like, I've kind of shifted even my mindset more to positionless basketball, and you know, you just kind of set up matchups and things like that. So but I can see him kind of being more of a facilitator on offense. I'd push back a little bit with you when you say that you know with these guys being kind of more half court heavy. You know, George Hill can get out and run. I mean, Kevin Love with those outlet passes, I'm telling you, he's going to find guys. You know, guys are going to start streaking. You're going to see a little bit more of a pace and push and more tempo and things like that. I think that's something you're going to see more and more of. You know, you touched on it, I think, you know, not too long ago, but, you know, the biggest question mark is going to be defensively. They just don't have good defenders on that team. It's just no way to hide it. So it's going to be an interesting thing. And then you have guys like Jordan Clarkson, who's a jitterbug and is going to want to get up and down. I think you're going to be able to see them get that up-tempo pace going. Part of that, though, to be successful is you also got to get some stops, and that's where it might become difficult. If you're taking the ball out of the net more times than not, you know, and you're going to end up coming up against a set defense. It's just kind of the way it works. You know, if you want to be a running team, you have to be able to actually defend. That's something that a lot of people don't really kind of pay attention to. So that's going to be an important thing for them. And that might be what holds them back more than the guys they have on the court, you know, because Larry Nance is a pogo stick. He's going to run up and down the court when he gets a chance. Tristan Thompson's a bit slow. We know that he may not be sprinting up and down the court. Zizic, we're not really sure what he is yet. I don't think he's really a up and down kind of guy, but they have some guys that can get out and run. So if they can get a few stops, they might be able to get out and transition a bit more.
Jetty's a guy that I think fits into that ethos, because if anyone has ever watched him play with the Turkish national team, or when they've just let him be himself basically and not play within the construct of the LeBron team like he did last year, he just goes for stuff. You can find this pass that he threw last year against the Wizards that might have been in a top five pass any Cav threw all year. Just an unbelievable read. He had that crazy pass against the Magic, where he like it was a full on outlet pass at a weird arm angle, but he pulled it off. And when he played with the Turkish national team, he just would get rebounds and he just pushed the ball up the floor and go for stuff. So I think like you're right. Like, I think I'm a little bit wrong on the half court stuff. And I wonder, but it's probably good that they have Love to at least, like, if they do get stuck in the half court, you can talk yourself into Kevin Love being something you can run stuff through.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Having guys like Love and George Hill and Korver who can help you out in the half court set is going to be extremely important. You know, no team's just going to be all transition. You know, I was talking two-man game with Korver and Love. You know, I totally forgot George Hill was even on the team for a second. That's another guy that, you know, could really kind of benefit with some of Love's passing abilities and being able to read cuts and things like that. So, you know, they have some promise in that, you know, and depending what happens with Rodney Hood, you know, and if they bring him back on the qualifying offer or come to a deal with him, you know, that's another guy who needs to have a big year. So you might be able to see some interesting things out of that.
Looking at this team, they obviously don't have, I don't think anyone would say they have top shelf young talent. Sexton could be good, Jetty could be good, Zizic could be good, but we don't know. I don't think any of those guys will be the next. It's unlikely, it seems, that, and it's too early for Sexton, and it's really too early for any of them to really know. Maybe they break out, to be fair, but it does not. I would not project any of the guys they have now to be their best great young player, to be the next long-term great player. And they love Sexton, but I'm a little skeptical he gets there. But how do you balance, you think, Kevin Love, a top 20-30 NBA player that's in his prime, and developing young guys like Sexton and Osman? And also, I mean, they're not signed long term, but you have George Hill around and you don't want him to be disgruntled like he ended up in Sacramento last year. You don't really want to alienate Thompson, I would guess. You don't want to alienate Rodney Hood if you bring him back, because he's in sort of a younger guy, but also a little bit older than some of your young guys. You also, you know, what do you do about Korver? What do you do about J.R. Smith? So how do you balance this mix of guys that are vets that were there to help compete LeBron for the title, and you're maybe banking on you helping now with Kevin Love as that new focal point, but also developing guys like Sexton and Osman? Is it playing Osman and Sexton a lot, but and playing them with Love, or is it leaning into certain situations where they can be themselves without Love on the floor, but then also having Kevin Love as a fallback?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, you got to just put these guys out on the court. You know, there's no replication in practice for game experience. And, you know, they may or may not be a playoff team. You know, it's going to be a challenge regardless. So you don't really have much to lose. I think, you know, you do put the ball in Sexton's hands a little bit. You give him some pick and roll actions. You play Osman and you let him do kind of what he does and kind of start tailoring his game a bit. I think, you know, it's the most important thing is just giving him playing time and playing those guys. And you balance it with Love and things like that. And I think, you know, again, a lot of actions, you know, there's still going to be a ton of pick and rolls between Sexton and Love. You know, there's going to be great opportunities for Love to pop out for three or roll to the basket and things like that. This is going to be a good time for Sexton to kind of learn how to run a half court offense, you know, and you know, they're going to run sets to get Love the ball in the post. You know, he's the guy that's got to learn how to enter the ball in the post and then play off that and then cut off of that. You know, there's going to be a lot of development in that. You know, there's going to be a lot of work done in the film room. There's going to be a lot of work done in practice, before practice, after practice. You know, there's a lot that goes into it you know, in developing players. And I think, you know, we're going to see that. But at the end of the day, too, he's got to get minutes. You know, when you look at it, George Hill's contract isn't guaranteed after next season. You know, I think Kyle Korver's contract isn't fully guaranteed after next season. You know, you have guys that you can start. You know, they're important now, but they're not important to your future. So you got to make sure, you got to kind of play that balance game. And it's a tough job, but you got to do it. And you got to kind of at a certain point, you know, when you're, if they're completely out of the playoff race, then you got to kind of just say, hey, no, we're just going to turn it over to Sexton and let him go to work and let him get as many reps as possible. It's kind of situational in terms of how the team's doing and things like that. And injuries all play a role and all that, you know, fun stuff that nobody really cares about. But I think it's or I shouldn't say care about, nobody really thinks about is probably the right term. But I think you just kind of have to balance that. And I think it's important to give those guys time, give those time, those guys the ability to play through their mistakes as well. You know, there's nothing worse than when a rookie makes a mistake. And as soon as he does, coach keeps yanking him, you know, because then they're just afraid to play. You just got to let them go. You got to let them play and live with what you got. You know, I think there's going to be opportunities to develop Sexton and work with him as well. So it's going to be an interesting season. It's an interesting task for Coach Lou, and he's got to work that around it. You know, but if they can find a way to be competitive, sneak into the playoffs some way, that's great experience for Sexton. You know, that's going to be great for him, and to get kind of that taste of playoff atmosphere. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. It's a bit of a challenge, but it's something that they're going to have to do.
I also think we don't know exactly how Ty is going to approach this. Ty, since he's been the head coach, he's been in the league, he comes from that Doc Rivers school, so I wonder what that influence means for him. I wonder what his status as a former player and him really trusting veterans the last couple years factors into this. But the Cavs have also preached this summer, quote, being in the player development business. And that's a really nice line from Kobe Altman. That is a sales pitch, and we'll see if they hold up to that. But it'll be interesting to see one of the big defining things will be how Tyronn Lue does do this. Does he lean, does he kind of, like you said, let Sexton get out there and play and make mistakes and just play through stuff? Does he let Osman do the same? Does he cut Tristan Thompson's minutes and maybe Larry Nance's minutes? Although I think they want to develop him more to get Zizic on the floor. Or do they have to send Zizic to Canton to get him playing time? You know, does he, you know, play Sexton and just run out two-guard lineups with Sexton Hill just to get Sexton on the floor, even if it's, you know, going to be a struggle defensively and it's a little bit maybe small to some degree? I think he has to do that stuff. And to me, you need that. I think they need that. I think for Ty, the last couple of years, he has, and as he should have, been all about trying to make sure he wins, isn't getting the team in the best position possible to win a title as he sees it. I think that has to be a shift for him this year and from an organization down. You want to make, I think if you're going to try to be competitive, that's fine. If you want to try to make the playoffs in the weaker conference, I can understand that. But I think the development has to come first. If I was going to rank what Ty's most important responsibilities this year are, I think number one, by a large margin, would be making sure Sexton and Jetty and Ante Zizic are getting the right minute and getting time to actually develop on the court, because you don't need to find out exactly what they are right now, and that's not fair to them to ask them to be what they're going to be in 3 years right now. But you need to start finding out this year. That's the whole point of losing LeBron. Even if you're re-signing Kevin Love, I think you need to start figuring out how these young guys, what these young guys are, and how they fit into your plans next summer as you build out.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, they're going to have to do it. I think, you know, as you said, Altman saying that they're going to be in the player development business, you know, they're aware that they need to develop these guys, you know, and it's a fine line, but I think you can develop your young guys and be competitive. And, you know, the thing is, the other thing, Chris, is just the East is so bad this year. You know, it's just, it's such a toss up. You know, those last three spots, I think, are really going to be a toss up. You know, and as we said, you know, injuries happen through the season, and some guys will miss major time. You know, hopefully not. We won't have too many guys miss big games or anything like that. But, you know, injuries happen, things change, and things like that, and situational. So, you know, you might look all of a sudden, and they're going to be in the, you know, race for the eighth seed, would at the same time also having a losing record. You know, it's going to be an interesting season, But I think you can be competitive in the East and try to develop players at the same time. I think there's a way to do it. You know, it's a fine line. Organizations, you know, have struggled with that in the past. And I think, you know, that's really going to be the challenge for Coach Lou. You know, he's got to figure it out. At the end of the day, that's going to be the name of the game for them. You know, they have a, you know, top 25 player in Kevin Love, you know, and before he got there, he was really a top 10 player before he got to Cleveland. Excuse me. And, you know, so we know they have one talented guy for sure, an all-star, probably going to be an all-star again this year. You know, so I don't, you know, I can see them working with their young guys to try to get them better and get them ready to help kind of Kevin so that they can make a playoff push. You know, just being saying you're in the player development business doesn't necessarily mean you're looking to tank or anything like that. I think, you know, I think they want to compete. I think they want to try to go out and win games. So, and that matters to development. Learning how to win in this league is an important thing. And that's something you need to teach guys. You know, that's something about these tanking teams that always tank for so long. You know, your young guys don't know how to win. They don't know what it takes to win. They don't know that extra effort. You know, lucky for them, you know, most of these guys, except for Sexton, you know, were around the past few years and they're able to see LeBron and the work ethic he put in to try to get on that championship level. You know, there's guys that practice at an NBA level. There are guys that practice at an NBA playoff level, and there are guys that work their butt off to NBA finals level. And most of these Cavs had to learn how to win and get to that NBA finals level. So same for Kevin Love. I mean, his body took a whole transformation, you know, from when he was in Minnesota to what he looks like now. So I think they're going to try to be competitive and develop their young guys at the same time. And, you know, at a certain point, there's going to be a game where Ty Lue's going to have to come to a decision. Do I keep Sexton in there at crunch time, or is he killing us and I got to put in, you know, somebody else? You know, and I think you're right. He will play George Hill and Sexton together. I think he's going to have a chance to be creative to get those guys minutes. I think we're going to see a lot of Chetty. I'm not too concerned about Chetty getting minutes and developing. I think he's going to get a lot of time. I think Sexton is going to get a lot of time. It's just a question of how much actual development and work through with him will they be able to do and still win games. And that's kind of the big question.
Yeah. Wrap it up in these last two points. Number one, when you look at this Cavs roster right now, they still have open roster spots. They still have some exceptions they can use. Rodney Hood is still out there. Larry Nance will probably get an extension, I would expect, in the next couple of weeks. What holes do you think this roster still has to fill? What kind of positions do you think it should be targeting? For me, I think it's bring back Hood, and then if they can get David Nwaba, I would be very on board for that. And that to me is about it.
Yeah, I mean, they need defense. They need guys that can defend. That'll, you know, it's kind of for show, but we'll literally kind of like hike up their shorts, you know, pound the floor and just defend. You know, they just don't have guys who I look at going like, okay, he's a good defender. They really don't. And you know, Nwaba's a great guy for them in that regard. You know, a guy that can come in and just play defense and play his butt off. But they need some more guys like that than anything else. You know, you're right. I think they are going to extend Nance. I think Rodney Hood's probably going to come back on the qualifying offer. But at the end of the day, if they add anything, just add anybody that can defend, because that's what they need badly right now. They have a chance to be a pretty bad defensive team.
I think they're going to be awful defensively. Like I, you're right. I think Nance is a good defender. A healthy Tristan Thompson is a useful defender, but like Austin's young and he's a little small for some of the guys he might be guarding. Love's obviously, you know, has his limitations. Hill's good when he's engaged. We'll see how that holds up in a non-title winning situation. Clarkson is awful. Korver is very limited at his age. There's not a lot of plus defenders hanging around. If you're playing Channing Frye, who, you know, is there to sort of establish culture, if he gets minutes, you know, like he's a huge liability on that end of the floor. Last thing, when you look at this roster, when you look at what we're going to have, and let's assume Rodney Hood's back, and let's assume that that's the last, and let's not include Nwaba in this because he just is more of a hypothetical than Hood. What do you should Sexton and Osman just be in the starting lineup from day one? And if whether you think they should or not, what would your five be? Like, what is a five-man starting lineup you're interested in seeing from this team next year?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I think, you know, I'm on board with, you know, starting Sexton and Hill together. I think having multiple ball handlers is always important now in the way the game is played. So I think that's something I'd want. Osman at the three works for me. You know, I'm sure JR won't be too happy coming off the bench, you know, as a two guard, but, you know, Love at the four and, you know, I'd actually start Nance, to be honest, at the five, just cause I want more running and, you know, he has the ability to at least protect the rim a little bit better than Thompson. And if you're getting killed on the boards, you make the change and you put Thompson in. And I kind of like that, you know, I don't think you're going to play Korver a ton of minutes over the course of the season. So I kind of like the idea of him coming off the bench for 15, 20 minutes. You know, you bring JR in and kind of work him in, you know, between that rotation of Hill and Sexton and those guys. And I think that's kind of really the lineup. And you know, you play Zizic, you know, in pockets as well and so on. So, you know, for me, like I think that's my starting five is Hill, Sexton, Osman at the three, which I'm not sure he can defend that at the three. It'll be interesting. Love and Nance is probably my starting five.
I agree with you. I think Osman does project as a bigger two long term because he is kind of he's not big. Like he's kind of skinny. He's kind of slender. But if he could get there, I think that would help. And I think it's worth it just to play him there to see what happens. They don't really have a three on the roster either right now, which sort of plays into this. It's not like they have a young three or even, I mean, Hood's sort of the same situation where he's very skinny and he's not really going to hang with the bulk of those guys. And it's not worth it to me to like start Okoro White just because you need a three. That would be weird. I agree with you. I think the starting five should 100% be, I'm very on board with just starting Sexton and Hill together, Jetty, Love, and then I think Nance should be the five. I think he's a better long-term piece than Thompson anyway, and you want to, I think, we really don't know how him and Love fit together to some degree, and I'm very intrigued to just see how they, well, and maybe Nance is the guy that really helps kickstart the fast breaks. If Kevin Love rebounds and Nance breaks out up the floor with Sexton also running there and Jetty, that's a way you can kickstart some fast breaks, which circles back to a little bit we talked about before. But Mo, just give everyone a quick plug of where they can find everything you're doing online and just everything you have going on right now.
Yeah, you can find basically anything I work on always ends up on thejumpball.net. You can also follow me at Twitter at Mo Dakhil, DAKHIL_NBA. And I basically just tweet a lot more than I probably should. You know, and
as,
you
can as everyone tweets too much.
General rule, everybody tweets too much. But yeah, you can find me on my website, thejumpball.net, and follow me on Twitter, and you probably, you know, you won't miss my stuff if you put me on.
Yeah, go check out most of it's great. And Mo, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Thanks again to Mo Dakhil, who you can find on Twitter at Mo_NBA. Again, find the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. We're going to be back tomorrow with a long conversation with myself and Jordan Zerm about this Kevin Love deal. And then next week, we're going to be diving into more free agency stuff and reacting to all the latest news and rumors surrounding the Cavaliers. Thanks again for listening. If you want your mailbag questions answered, as always, submit those to lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Or if you want to just say hi, you can submit it there as well. Thanks again for listening. I'm Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers. Thanks again.